Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome to the H&J Daily, the best bits of this afternoon show. Chris Marshall, the actor from Death in Paradise and My Family's in a new period drama, isn't he? Jane Austen's great unfinished novel. He's in that on ITV.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had a very interesting thing happen today. We had a great guest lined up.
Yeah.
And we had lots of questions from you, the listeners. But unfortunately, he couldn't get into the building.
Yeah. So you'll see what unfolded there. We also had a bit of a subject that you helped us out with in terms of puntastic texts and emails. So we hope you enjoy. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Paul. And I'm quite intrigued by a reader's offer in the Sun today for natural snail elixir. And apparently it's great for repairing damaged cartilage. I know Gonzalo Higuain swore by it last season.
Sure, Chelsea. Gave him that first, that little burst of pace. What's snail elixir? What is it? Where does it come from? What kind
snails.
Of...
Snails.
Yeah, I know that, but what kind of... Is it sort of liquidized snails perish the thought? Is it some kind of excretion of the snail?
Oh, that's a good point, actually.
Is it snail sweat?
I don't know.
It could be something
really
else.
I don't really want to think about it too much.
But,
it says snail protein, so I mean, the thing is, it's the body.
If it isn't, okay, so it is. But if it was something you had to extract from the snail, that's a job and a half, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not a great job.
Whatever it was.
I can think of worse jobs.
You deserve all the money you get, mate, whoever you are.
Very good. Yeah. And Davide Zappacosta. He's on his way to Rome.
Oh, Davide, is he going to have Adrian on your case for your Davide?
David. Not really David, is he? I just call him Zappa. Zappa Costa is on his way to Roma for a season-long loan. And,
yeah.
And before he was granted a testimonial, that's really sad, isn't it, really? And can he take William with him?
Okay, fair enough. Was he... it was a funny one, that, because he cost you about 20-odd million,
25 million, yeah.
25 million. Was he a Conte or Sarri signing?
Conte, but not really a Conte signing, a club signing. Wanted Alexandro, who cost 60 million from Juventus, so they bought him Zappacosta for 25. But he's an Italian international, but it's never quite our league.
He looked good in the first game, didn't he?
How
often do you get that? Yeah, I remember that. I remember him scoring.
Our league.
It's a bit like us with Mido. Yeah. We thought, blimey, we got something here, and we did. But not quite what we expected.
You know, our league doesn't suit every player. That's the thing, you know. Yeah. So what are you going to do? News today that Davide Beckham.
Davide. Not everybody's a Davide.
For goodness sake. Yeah. David Beckham's MLS stadium site in Miami is contaminated with arsenic.
Yeah, it's a bit worrying, isn't it?
Yeah, so of course we immediately...
We've got Arsenic Wenger.
Gordon Strychnine.
Gordon Strychnine. It's pronounced Strachan, but it's spelled Strychnine.
Gary Hemlock.
Terry. Who's Gary Hemlock?
Gary Locke. But Terry Hemlock's better.
Terry Hemlock. So come on.
I've got one more.
Go on then.
Vasily Rat Poison.
That's good. Come on. Let's have your poison sport stars. We don't want any satire. We don't want Pierre Van Hooydonk. We just want terrible puns. So come on, let's have a few of those poison-related sports stars. Talksport.com. Text 81089. Tweet to TSHNJ.
And I did love this text to the Daily Star.
Finally, where are you?
Well, you're getting off. You sounded like you wanted to do something else.
No, I've got nothing. Okay. I've got nothing better to do. I'm sit with you for practically the next 3 hours. I'm in for the long haul. I've made the commitment so far.
Very, very pleased for you. This is Steve from London. I don't know who he is. He wrote to the Daily Star with this one. Gary Lineker isn't just overpaid, but the fact he only works for 90 minutes a week makes him the highest paid person on earth. You think, This A, he isn't, and B, no. How stupid is that text? Yes, that's right. He turns up 5 seconds before match of the day, hasn't watched any of the games whatsoever, does the show and goes home. It's brilliant, isn't it? What a great understanding of how television works from Steve in London there.
I don't normally go to the letters in the papers, but I was very taken with Paul Marston from Walsall, who says VAR should be renamed Very Annoying Referee.
It's pathetic. Really?
I think we should. I think we should definitely do that.
Yeah, then he says, if brilliant goals keep being ruled out for such marginal reasons, people will eventually lose interest in the game. They won't. Next. But there you go.
Yeah, that's...
It does kill it a bit, though. He suppose he's got a little point there, isn't he?
Paul Nicholson's been in touch, Andy, and he does make the point, if your old nan is going to come out and play football, imagine all the shouts of, Nan on! It's very true, Paul. It's going to be a lot of shouts of Nan on. But this is a Danish boffin who says, women of 55 to 70 should be encouraged to play five-a-side football. And we're going to be finding out why when we speak to him. A little bit later on.
I can't see my wife going off for a game of five-a-side. It seems unlikely.
How would you feel about it if she just suddenly said, well, that's it, Andy, I know you've just come in, but
honestly,
I'm
delighted.
I've tried to get her into
exercise for years. I had this theory about my wife that she hates exercise, but she's incredibly naturally fit. You know, she used to run for a bus and never even be out of breath. And even that's after doing no exercise. Why don't you take up marathon running? You might be
No Paula exercise Radcliffe. To marathon, but she could write a book, couldn't she?
She's just not interested. And we have a competition, really, because I do a lot of exercise.
Yeah, yeah.
So we both, whoever dies first, the other one will be standing by the gravestone going, I told you. Because she doesn't believe in exercise at all, and I do. So there you go.
It's good to know what's going to be said, isn't it? Sulfuric Laporte, says Eddie from Glasgow.
Very clever.
Pat Ryson, says Bruce McNichol.
Excellent.
A bit dark, this. Yeah. Maurizio Sarin, says Gavin Bridgewater.
Oh, excellent stuff.
Morgan Cyanidlin, says Sean. Diego Belladonna, says Mally. Keep them coming then. Come on.
Fantastic.
Let's
well done.
In seconds, they come up with those.
That's brilliant.
What a good bunch you are. So let's have your poison beast. Ali McCoist, he'd wet himself.
He would have done.
Ali, he loves it. This is the quality stuff.
Yeah.
And Ali, he's in bits with some of the sort of fair middling.
I know.
So we'd have to have a bucket in there if Ali was in. So anyway, give us a few more of those.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
It's Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Chris Marshall has joined us in the studio. He is in Sanditon, the new adaptation. It's probably the first time it's been on TV. It's Jane Austen's unfinished novel, costume drama. Let's hear a little bit of the trailer.
These seaside resorts can be odd places.
Let me introduce you to our guest. This is where we
come. You made
Sanditon. Starts Sunday, the 25th of August on ITV.
Yeah, sure does. Good afternoon, Chris.
Good afternoon, gents.
Do you like a costume drama? Do you like all that dressing up, the breeches and the big hats?
I've got to say, I've not been in my past, I've never been a huge period costume fan, but they're great to be in. I haven't done one for about 10 years. But I used to do quite a few when I was younger and a bit more unknown. I watched the Andrew Davis's version of Les Miserables quite recently. Yeah. I enjoyed that. I mean, they look great. So,
well, yeah, they do.
And this is no exception.
I mean, he's a great writer. I mean, it's in very safe hands, isn't it? So it's an unfinished novel. So has he kind of imagined how it would have panned out?
Jane Austen fortunately died before she could write more than 11 chapters. So, so no one's really taken it on before. And I think
it's quite bold, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Andrew's had, you know, obviously he had the Pride and Prejudice with Colin Firth, the famous one in his quiver, and obviously he did Les Mis recently. He's done it. He's like the go-to guy for sort of anything period. And so I think he's earned a crack at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, and it's never been done before. So it's quite nice actually to be in something that's not going to be compared to anything else.
Who'd you play?
I play a character called Tom Parker, one of the Parker brothers, the eldest of the Parker brothers, and he is the sort of local entrepreneur and visionary, really. Mm. He's trying to sort of, you know, it was a great time, the Regency and end of the Georgian era, and the Regency era was a great time where people were great advocates of sea bathing and thinking that taking the waters was, you know, a cure for all sorts of ailments. And he's a great believer in this, and he wants to turn this sort of parochial fishing village into this great new sea bathing resort to rival Brighton and Bath and what have you. So he's kind of like a, I guess if he was around today, he'd be like a sort of, you know, in charge of a startup or something like that.
Yeah.
He's quite, you know, he's on the sort of,
be
know,
taking it into the den, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
be going
yeah,
into
exactly.
Jane Austen's Dragon's Den.
Jane Austen's Den.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Going up against a few Georgian dragons.
Would be good. I've got a question for you. I've often wondered this. Maybe I've got too much time on my hands. But to what level is the kind of dress authentic? I wonder, when you go into, you put the coat on and you put the, you know, and you put the breeches on, does it go down to undercrackers? Because it strikes me that if you've got a hint of Calvin Klein in one of the shots, and it's a bit, you know, that you can't be doing that. So do they insist how much of the clothing is authentic to what extent?
Well, it is extremely authentic. I'm not sure it goes quite that authentic.
No Hessian pants you have to wear.
I wasn't wearing Hessian pants. What I did, excuse me, and what I did have to do was remove the boxer shorts because the Calvins had to go because the breeches were so tight.
Yeah.
I thought you might have VPL.
So would you
wouldn't involve the VPL so much as, it did involve VPL, but P doesn't mean panty on this occasion. P means something else.
It's like you're front man of Cameo or something. It's like you're wearing a codpiece.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Word Up, but you know, I didn't want to emulate that particularly.
It's got a very good cast, including Anne Reid, who's such a brilliant actress.
Yes. Oh, she's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. She's an absolute legend. You know, she is she, you know, to me she is the sort of the sort of proof that old actors never really retire. They just get, you know, more sort of more youthful and outrageous. I mean, she's got a wicked sense of humor. She's a brilliant actress.
She was originally in Corrie, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. She was Ken Barlow's missus.
Right.
And then did a lot of stuff with Victoria Wood last Tango in Halifax. She was in that. Wasn't
Dinner
she?
Ladies, I believe.
Dinner, yeah, she was. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, brilliant, I mean, actress.
She's fantastic. And you know, I love working with actors of a certain age because they're sort of, you know, they're sort of growing old so disgracefully.
Yeah.
I mean that in the best way, obviously. Mm. You know, it's a witty and full of life. And
you get to that point where they don't care what they say.
Don't care, you know. And it's a brilliant, brilliant position to be in. I hope I make it.
when you're doing the kind of costume drama, it strikes me as a bit like when you're at a fancy dress party. That you all go to a fancy dress party and you all go, hey, you all laugh at each other. And ultimately, you stand there with a pint and one of you says, see the game last night? I'm surprised they let Pogba take that penalty. I suppose a lot of you are kind of sitting round in the breeches, in all the Jane Austen gear, saying, well, yeah, it wasn't a bad game, but I thought maybe United should have made a substitution earlier.
Yeah, there's lots of that, lots of crosswords, you know, and crosswords. There's a lot of sitting around in very, very tight. I mean, the girls have it kind of worse.
Oh, of course they do. Yeah.
Of course it's a couple of my co-stars would remove their corsets on the sly.
Right.
Come in and just go, take a corset off.
Yeah. We should mention Death in Paradise.
Because Andy loves it.
It's one of my favourite programmes.
He loves it.
I love it.
Yeah.
The reason I love it is complete escapist nonsense. Of course it's not serious, but it comes at the time of year. They always put it out in sort of like the winter time, and it just looks so great when you're in this sort of, you know, grim time of year weather-wise, and this beautiful island. And we always say it must be really fun, not necessarily for the main actors who have to be there for a long time. Harlow Hanlon said this to us, but for the normal, you know, just the sort of bit.
It's a lovely guest. It's a lovely guest role spots. For someone. Our old mate Simon Day, we were mentioned earlier on, did it, didn't he? And that phone call from the hello, love. Do you fancy a death in? Honestly, they're at Heathrow before you put the phone down, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean it's pretty popular.
Get people. You'd often they probably say, "Oh, so and so's coming." You think, really? And you get actors you probably wouldn't expect because it sounds like a nice gig for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, What's interesting is, every week is sort of... Because when you're around there for 6 months, you sort of get a bit bored. You know, there's only about 3 bars out there and a couple of restaurants.
Yeah.
And, you know, wonderful beaches. But it becomes sometimes like a very, very beautiful open prison. you sort of need new blood.
Yeah.
So the new actors coming out to
churn.
Do
you need churn.
Need the churn. You know, it's like and you feel a bit more like a holiday rep. You know, you sort of tick them in. And you go, morning,
but
welcome to paradise.
It is mad.
There's the bar. There's the sea. Off you go.
That's it.
Mind the rum. It's very strong.
All these, you have to suspend disbelief because all these places like King's Markham and Midsummer and all.
Yeah. Like Detroit.
So violent.
It's
murder a week. It seems unlikely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think also, with Death in Paradise, anyway, we just used to poke fun a bit at those kind of shows as well. We didn't take ourselves too seriously.
No. But it was fun. It was good fun.
Now, football wise, you're a kind of Villa fan, but you say your dad's massive Forest, probably died in the wall Forest fan. So he didn't kind of lead you down that path.
Well, he tried to. Dad was born in Beeston and a huge Forest fan. And actually, just before I was born, my mum was heavily pregnant with me and hopefully me. We lived above, I think it was an electrical retailer shop.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stood on a stool in the kitchen, you could watch half of the football, Forest, and then if you stood in the lounge at the front, you could see the cricket at Trent Bridge.
Oh, nice!
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So
from the toilet, you just caught the Meadow Lane.
Yeah. Got a bit of Notts County in there. Anyway. He was a huge Forest fan. He did try to get me, obviously. When I was growing up, it was a Cloughy period, and
it was a good time. I mean, it was a good time at Glory Hunt, wasn't it?
Exactly. Well, Aston Villa also won the European Cup.
They did, that's well. Right.
So, he took me to a match, and they were playing Villa, and I decided that I was about 6 or 7. I decided I quite like the Villa kit, so I was like, well, I'll go with Villa, I think. And to his credit, he bought me an Aston Villa duvet and.
That's nice.
What have you? And I sort of stuck with them, really. I mean, I'm not from Birmingham. I'm from, I grew up in the Cotswolds for a bit. So.
But it's quite a Villa following there, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's our nearest big club, or. I'm quite excited about this season. I mean, obviously, it's not started brilliantly, but I'm liking Douglas Lewis.
He looks the part when he's not dummying the ball, as he did the other
one.
He looks like it was a great goal, wasn't it?
Amazing goal. And I think, obviously they need someone to replace the goals of Tammy Abraham last year. And, with the new defence with Mings and Engels, sounds like an estate agent, doesn't it? Mings and Engels.
Trip or fall.
Once they all sort of gel together, I'm hoping, I think they're playing pretty well.
They are. You're right.
Getting results.
I'm a Spurs fan. I was at the game, and I thought they defended really well.
Yeah, I thought Spurs were pretty lucky, actually.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know what you mean. Yeah, towards as the game
could be a fight.
Fallout. But as the game wore on, of course, once they got the first goal, you did sense they were probably going to get a second one.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, they have been playing well, definitely. So we can see you in Sanditon. It starts this Sunday. Of course, it's you said
Sunday 9 p.m.
Sunday 9 p.m. Perfect. And is it 8? Oh, I've got the trainer on again. Is it? Do apologise.
Oh, there we go.
Is it 8 or 9 parts? Is it
8 parts?
8 parts.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Great. So there's your Sunday nights sorted. Mm. So you just pulled up, turn over.
That's precisely what you're supposed to do.
Of course,
exactly.
You are.
Exactly.
That's definitely the way to do it. Lovely to see you, Chris.
Good to see you, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming in. So check it out at Sanditon this Sunday at 9 o'clock on ITV.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We mentioned earlier on, why do we get into poisons?
Oh, because of arsenic Wenger, David Beckham's MLS
site. Oh, David Beckham's MLS site's got arsenic apparently here on the pitch. Excuse me. And so you've been telling us about your poison sports stars. Herbicide Hyde, says Gab Cancello.
Very good, Gab.
Kevin Rento Kilban, says Ed. Juan Sebastian Venom, Ben. Willie Anthrax, says Dave from Somerset. Radium Parlor, says Bob. Des Botulinum, says Jolly the West Ham fan.
And, got to have a TV show.
And who can possibly forget the great Portsmouth goalkeeper? That is Alan Deadly Nightshade, says John Morton. John, thank you very much for that. Keep them coming. We've got a few more there. And maybe to get you going on something else, Chris Marshall was with us, the actor, just now. And he said when he lived in Nottingham, if he stood on a chair in the kitchen, he could see Nottingham Forest ground. And he kind of looked for a window in the living room, you could just kind of catch sight of Trent Bridge.
Pitch. Oh, yeah, the other
half
side.
The pitch. So you got a bit of Trent Bridge and half the pitch at Forest Ground. So we're interested to hear some of the great vantage points, well, kind of all right vantage points that that you've had over the years when it came to sports stadiums. I mean, not necessarily the bloke who had a flat that just overlooks the whole pitch, but, well, you could just see a bit
really,
of it.
It was really noticeable on Saturday, though, because well, the bloke I was with, the cricket with, a friend of mine, he had a friend who lived in Lord's View, and he always used to watch the games.
Yeah.
But we were looking on Saturday. There are loads of flats that overlook Lord's, and there was not one person on the balcony.
So really? Think,
why buy a flat that overlooks Lord's and then not be interested in cricket?
You're not interested in cricket. It does
that
seem a bit
thing,
odd.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. We're in the final hour of the show. Tim Vickery will join us, our South American football expert. Look at some of the stories from that part of the world. The Judmont Stakes are live at 3:35. Lee McKenzie will call them home in the feature race of the afternoon, day one of the Ebor meeting at York. Mark Marquez is here as well from the world of MotoGP. Seven-time champion, is he, Andy? World champion? He's
seven
amazing.
Times, yeah. Amazing. Incredible. Riding since he was age four.
Yep, so Mark's going to pop in ahead of the British Grand Prix at Silverstone. But before that, Andy, what do you have from your selected bits?
My selected bits? Well, first of all, a piece from G2 this morning. I know Rugby League Man, he's retired, unfortunately, so we can't get...
Has he retired? Tempt him out of retirement?
No, he has, honestly. We can't... I've tried a thousand times to get him to do fashion pieces for us, but...
He's a perfectionist, though, Rugby League Man. He doesn't want to do it half-cocked.
True.
Yeah.
And this one I suggested to him because I thought it was right up his street. It was a piece in The Guardian about socks.
Oh, yeah.
White or bright, pulled up or barely visible, are novelty ones ever okay? The Guardian fashion team decode the new rules for socks. And apparently the best quote and the one they picked out was, "Socks have become an area of woke signalling." No, they're just socks.
Wow.
Goodness sake.
Some people like an odd sock. Some people... Ronnie Corbett liked a loud sock. didn't he?
Yeah, he was a man. He was woke signalling.
Well,
it?
I don't think he was woke signalling. No, he just liked to lay out. Some people like they like an odd sock, don't they? You yeah. wear the brightly coloured and then a different colour. Do you go down that route? Any, no, or are you a pairs man?
I'm definitely a pairs man.
Definitely a pairs man. Right.
Kate Lawler's producer, he wears two. He's got Converse shoes, and he's got them in two pairs. And he wears one day he wears left foot, right foot, blue and brown,
different coloured shoes.
Yeah. That's it. And the other day he wears brown and blue. Yeah, it's quite...
That is bold.
Well, it's quite strange, I'd say.
It is. You could never accuse Anthony Yard, the fine light heavyweight boxer, of ducking a fight because he is off. Well, he's already gone to Russia to fight Sergei Kovalev in his hometown.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gone there. They've already lost his luggage, so the mind games have started. But what about that? West Central Russia, close to the Urals.
It's very.
You ever been close to the Urals,
no,
Andy?
No, I haven't. I can't say.
But he's gone there to fight in Chelyabinsk. It's called, and it's going to be like one of those old Jim Watt fights at the Kelvin Hall. I think partisan crowd is what immediately springs to mind. I don't know if Anthony has taken with him, but man, that's a bold thing to do. So we wish him well because it's not going to be easy.
Now, we spoke recently to a dean, I think he was, of a, I can't remember which cathedral it was, but basically they installed a crazy golf course.
You know,
you may remember that.
Was it Winchester?
Is that right?
Rochester. Right. Sorry, yeah.
But there's something going on in the church at the moment. They're obviously
there often is.
Yeah, they're obviously desperately trying to attract people to come to church and sort of enter into the whole spirit of the thing. Because
the whole spirit of the
that's
thing.
Very much so, isn't it?
That's right.
The deans.
Thousands of years of religion down to the whole spirit of the... Well, there is a spirit involved, of course.
There is, of course there is. Yeah. The deans from Hereford, Gloucester and Worcester were due to take part in a penalty shootout with the Bishop of Tewkesbury in goal. That's just mad.
Is he good in goal, Bishop of Tewkesbury?
No idea.
Did he have his foot on the line?
I hope he did.
Yeah.
Worcester's dean pulled out, and then basically there seems to have been a bit of subterfuge. A suspiciously strapping sub-organist, says the Times, whose four goals won the day. Ah. So a bit of a ringer there.
Lionel, the sub-organist, came in, did he?
I can't imagine. Well, still, the Pope was a goalkeeper, so I suppose he's not the first religious man to
that used to be
a custodian.
The late Pope John Paul, people used to say he'd been a cab or something. So, he played for Poland, didn't he? Played in golf. I think he actually played for his village. No, he played for Poland, definitely. I think he just played for his village team. No, I'm sure he played for Poland. No, he didn't, mate. He really didn't play for Poland. But he could have done.
I think people are still saying
But he took, he took a different route. He took a different route. He decided not to play for Poland. He decided to become, the Pope.
Yes, that's true. Now, Bill, they're hanging on your every word. And
oh, yeah.
That's good.
I'll tell you why, Andy.
Why?
Because I've got a Johnny Nash.
Yes.
There are more questions than
these are the stories that you often find, mainly in the tabloid newspapers, that have basically been cut down to three or four lines. They're almost like a tweet. And you think, I need to know more. And today's is, footy fan Andrew Smith, 5, of Fleet Hants, was gutted to find his whole trip to meet Nessie, not Lionel Messi.
That's what, Loch Ness Monster?
Yeah. So you're thinking, okay, he's 5. How did the papers speak to him and find out he was gutted to go on holiday?
Well, that's a very good question.
He thought to meet Lionel Messi, but was in fact Nessie. So I did a bit of detective work. And there's a little bit more to it. That's a lovely picture of young 5-year-old Andrew standing on the banks of Loch Ness with his thumbs down.
Did Nessie
down.
Give him a shirt with his name on the back?
I don't think he did.
He likes to do that.
His dream was to meet Lionel Messi. He misheard his mum and dad.
Oh, no.
They said, we're going on holiday, you're going to see Nessie. And he started jumping around the room. He's a Tottenham fan. So he started jumping around the room, very, very excited. They get in the car and he's thinking, well, that doesn't look like the new camp. And then they find themselves
like he'd know what the new camp is. He's 5 years old.
Yeah. They find that, just to annoy Adrian, or the camp, no. they find themselves in Scotland and they say, there, see if you can find him. Well, what are you talking about? At 5, as much as you can at 5. And then he said, no, we said Nessie, not Messi.
Oh, he must have been very disappointed.
And he didn't seem massively impressed. He'd gone up to Scotland for 2 weeks to visit some relatives, but he's come out of it quite well. He's got a Scotland shirt out of it.
Can't be bad.
And he's entered into the spirit. So look, suddenly, from that Johnny Nash... we do understand it. Of course, when we understand it, Johnny Nash, you hear this.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone.
Nice. nice. I remember the live version.
You don't just throw these bits together, do you?
Oh, no, no, no.
That's right. Now, talking of the great man himself, Johnny Nash, it was his birthday yesterday. Because Pelé, is he available?
Oh, yeah, wow.
Yeah, I hope so, anyway.
Not singing I Can See Clearly, I wouldn't think.
Well, no, probably not. Yeah. The singer-songwriter Tears on My Pillow, recording was another one of his big hits.
Yeah.
Okay, you probably know roughly how it is. I'm going to give you a margin of about... I'm only going to give you a margin of 4 years.
I've got to try and guess how old Johnny Nash defined
the
reggae artist.
The funny thing is, though, I've been in touch with him, actually.
Have you really?
Yeah, he's been campaigning to reform jousting, but has been putting forward far too many ideas. Yes, there are more suggestions than lancers.
Oh, wow. Wow-wee.
Dennis Norton.
Johnny Nash has got to be in his 70s now, hasn't he? 77.
Very good. He's 79.
Oh, not so bad. I did that.
I wouldn't have done that one. I wrote it a couple of days ago, but I thought, well, it fits.
Yeah, it fits. It does.
I apologise.
It does the job,
terrible,
doesn't it?
Really. Yeah. Never mind.
Anything else?
Yeah, probably. Let me. Oh, yes. Yeah, Scarlett Moffat's new TV show. It's really got a touch of the Alan Partridge's pitch to Tony Hare, the BBC. Oh, Tony Hare's, rather. Honestly, I can't even believe this is a TV show. Gogglebox star Scarlett Moffat and her family are being sent to live with a remote African tribe for a TV experiment. What sort of a TV program is that?
They're going to sit round and watch telly.
The Moffats, including Scarlett, her parents, her sister and Graham, will jet to Namibia to spend time with the Himba tribe.
Yeah.
Weird. Who's going to want to watch that?
And then are the Himba tribe coming back? Are they off, they're off to the northeast, are they?
Maybe. I've no idea. It just seems... Honestly, that's the thing, isn't it, where somebody... You know, Scarlett becomes quite famous, and then with that, you made the point, didn't you, last year, that everything that came forward, every proposal had her name in it.
That's right,
Because they can't think beyond the last person that they've
seen. Let's get Scarlett Moffat involved.
Really, honestly.
Yeah.
But, it's good luck to Scarlett.
Yeah, and have a great time with the Himba tribe. I'll be watching. Don't worry about that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, thanks for all your questions for Mark Marquez, but we await his arrival.
Yeah, he's running late and he's got to get through. He's got to get
if anybody can get here quickly, you think he could.
Yeah, it's true, really.
Just put him on the bike.
It's the old lift system here. Yeah. You know, there's a few big buildings and they can take a bit of time. This is a mad crime, though. A couple faced 6 years in jail for taking 88 pounds of white sand from a protected beach in Sardinia.
Wow.
Italian police found the sand stashed in the couple's car. What were they going to do? Make their own beach? Strange thing to do.
It would just look good in the garden, I suppose, Andy. I've got no idea.
Lot,
yeah,
it's a
very good
sand.
Point. It certainly is.
There you go. Bad news for Prosecco fans. Dentists say that it's the
Prosecco.
Worst...
Prosecco? Who are Prosecco fans?
Well, come on, you Proseccos. Yeah. The worst alcoholic drink for your teeth. Mm. Apparently, though, bad news for our producer, cider is second because of its acidity. So watch out for John's teeth.
I'll tell you, our Prosecco fans, Messrs. Brazil and Parry, because Jim White, when wandering home yesterday, was accosted by the pair of them. And Jim surmised that drink had been taken.
Oh, no, really?
By the way they were acting, yeah. So they did. Well, that's no great secret. Mm. They were tweeting out pictures of that the other day. Steve Evans, you know, do you think what a glamourable world, as Stuart Pearce might say, football is. The Gillingham manager, one of his subs got to the ground at 10-7 last night, and he said he basically broke the two flat tyres and had to abandon his car to get an Uber to the the stadium to make kickoff. But anyway, what are you going to do?
No idea. Oh well, I might be having to venture onto page two.
Okay, well, I think you might have to because at the moment, Mark Marquez is somewhere in reception.
I do like Martin Lipson's column in the Sun. It's really interesting and informative. And you see this thing about English clubs doing even better. What are you doing now?
We've just been told we don't know where he is.
Yeah, oh, for goodness' sake, thanks very much.
Yeah, I'm going to put the questions.
Got 11 minutes.
No, sorry, Andy, you don't have to because we've had so many great questions.
Why don't you put them to me?
I will put. I'll make sure that we're not going to see Mark. Are we not going to see Mark now? The producer's just basically shrugged his shoulders, which is always great,
isn't
it?
It's always a great sign
when the producer
dropped out.
Yeah, it's always great when the producer beats me. Yeah. Well, if he doesn't know, then who does? He's either in the building or he's not in the building.
He's going to be on Drive talking about the third test.
He might have to do 10 minutes with Goffey on the batting order for England. So anyway, it's a shame because so many of you have have got questions here, and I think it's only right that we put them to a fellow MotoGP expert. You can speak on behalf of Mark. Are you prepared to do that, Andy?
I am. Okay, what it does show is that we should do more on this sport because people love it. It's really popular.
They do. All you really need is the bloke who competes in it here in the studio. That would be massively helpful. Mark, David Prateley would like to know, after last year's race was cancelled due to rain, this is the British Grand Prix, if it were to rain again, Mark, would you be happy to race at Silverstone in the wet, bearing in mind what happened to Rabat? That's Tito Rabat, who broke his leg.
Nasty. I think I'd be quite concerned, actually, because driver safety is always very, very important.
But I think apparently they've relayed the surface there. I was going to ask you whether, you know, you're happy with what you've seen.
Well, you know, the relayed surface would make a difference, but I'd still be, you know, wanting to put caution first.
Given this fast. Well, look, thanks for your answer, which didn't exist. Paul from Stamford says, can you please ask Mark Marquez if he thinks that wings on MotoGP bikes should be banned? Do you think they should be banned?
No, but I think wing mirrors on horses are an excellent idea.
Yeah, you've gone down a different route there. Good afternoon, guys.
What a fine band they were.
Good afternoon to you, Chuffer.
Really?
Interesting nickname. I'm not sure I should have read that out.
Definitely not.
Regional curiosity. Anyway, a question for Mark, but Mark's not here, so I'm putting them to Andy. Would Mark ever I think he's about to join us.
Is
okay, fantastic. And that's good. I can actually put the questions to him in the limited time we have left. So we can put... Because basically, Andy, you were just...
I absolutely nothing about
MotoGP. May I say, some of the worst examples of bluffing. Trying to pretend to be
a
sports star.
I've only ever been on a motorbike once in my life.
Is that right?
Yeah, a bloke called Alex Pike at school. He had a bike and I went on the back of it. It was sensationally exciting.
So what, but
I didn't like having to hold him.
It never led you into the world.
I didn't like having to hold him around the waist. I felt uncomfortable.
Really? That was an issue for you.
There we are.
And you've not been on a motorbike since.
So Mark Marquez.
What a great loss to the world of MotoGP.
Chris Marshall, the actor and villa.
We'll put that one to Mark. What's it like, to have to have someone?
That's all tomorrow. Thanks for that.
They don't do that. That would be an interesting, just to have a passenger. You have a lay passenger, don't you?
The only other two things I can think of is the scene in the Marx Brothers when... Chico drives off without Harpo, and leaves Harpo inside. Well, no,
in the motor, the sidecar.
The sidecar.
That's
And of course, on the buses where Olive used to ride sidecar to Arthur.
This is the kind of level of MotoGP chat. The producer threatened me with the news that Mark was joining us any second.
I've done everything I've ever known, every anecdote I've got.
Which is nothing.
Motorbikes.
You've done all your motorbike material, haven't you, really? Shall I continue putting these questions to Mark? Because is it not looking good? Is it? Is there a producer?
I was at Wembley that day that Evel Knievel over the 10 buses.
Welcome to Clutching at Straws here on the TalkSport. The full filler. Anything else? What about when you went to the circus that time? It was that chimpanzee on a motorbike. Don't you remember that? You went round in circles.
No, I didn't know.
Wall of Death at the fun fair.
Well, no, I never had a go at that.
None
myself.
Of that?
No, not really.
Else?
No.
What about that bit in The Great Escape, eh?
Oh, yes.
Fantastic, isn't it?
You can't, it's
Steve
fantastic.
McQueen, eh? Who could possibly forget
tremendous.
It? Mark, why do you think you do better on left-hand tracks? Asks Daz Hughes.
No idea.
Why is the left-hand track so good for you, Mark?
Well, you know, I feel that my weight distribution when I'm on the bike helps me when I lean to the left.
Is that right?
So, I've no idea.
Okay.
I bet he'd be able to tell you, wouldn't he?
Yeah, well, he would be able to, but he's
I'm
not
gonna
here.
Ask him
he's
things
not here,
like,
sadly.
You know, I saw an amazing photo of him riding a bike.
He's going to come in at a minute to four just to say, anyway, let's head to Headingley now. Catch up with Goffey and Adrian with Drive. Lovely. This is from James, who says, Mark is one of the best athletes I've... he says, well, he actually addressed it to you. He says, Mark, you are one of the best athletes I've seen in my 30 years on this planet.
Well, that's a great compliment. He is. He's an amazing 7 world titles.
I know
incredible.
He is.
Incredible.
Yeah.
He's coming. I was going to ask him, do you have a street bike and what is it?
These are questions you can...
Didn't ask him whether he had bike insurance.
Questions that we're going to... It's going to have to very quick 3 minutes.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. You should be a part of the MotoGP coverage on BT, I think. Brilliant. Really good. Ridiculous. Andy Jacobs joins us now. What's your take on the race?
Talking about bluffing.
Yeah. Anyway, we kind of got something out of it. I think we got away with it just.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. Have a fine evening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.